listening to Life in Limbo, a podcast about building a life you love on the foundation of what's most important to you. I'm your host, Stephanie Pellet, and each week I'll be chatting with an interesting person or sharing my own reflections on how we can stay connected to our personal values, measure what matters most to us, listen to our own voices, and build a life we love. This week on the podcast, I'm talking about the idea of noticing our behavior and what it can tell us about how we're really feeling. Let's go. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Life in Limbo podcast. How are you doing? How's your summer going? I am so happy that you're here and listening because I'm really excited about this topic. It's been cropping up quite a lot, even in respect to this podcast itself. So it's kind of a fun, juicy topic to jump into. The idea that I'm sharing today is noticing your behavior and kind of seeing what it can teach you or show you about how you're actually feeling or maybe what decisions you might want to make. This kind of came about because I find that sometimes I have a really hard time following my intuition, right? They always say follow your intuition, follow your passion, figure out what you want to do next and kind of go with that. And as much as my intuition is definitely a strong gift for me, I consider it one of my best features. I have also noticed that it can get a little burnt out. I use my intuition quite a lot in my work with my clients, and sometimes that means that when I get home or in my personal life, I just feel like I'm just done. I've gotten to that point of decision fatigue, and my intuition is just, I think, needs a break or is tired or something. I'm not sure what it is exactly, but it's just not able to necessarily tell me exactly what I might want to do in the moment, especially if I'm like having a bunch of free time, for instance, like on a weekend, I have a whole day ahead of me and I'm like, what does my intuition want to do? And I don't really know the answer, you know? So I feel like that's one part of it. And then I also feel like one thing that really contributes to this as well is that sometimes in my work, I get into a real flow state, right? So I'm just sitting in front of the computer, there's a lot of stimulation coming in. I might be checking my email and then switching over to Slack and checking in with clients, and then maybe I'm doing another type of task. And often this involves a lot of really heavy information processing, right? They call us knowledge workers, people who work in a field like me, probably you as well. It means that we have to process quite a lot of information in order to do our jobs. And I think one thing that tends to happen to me in that situation is that I can very easily get into a state where I'm just not as aware of my body, right? I'm sure some of you can like resonate with this, that you've experienced this in the past. Essentially, you're so in your brain, you're so in your mind, and so in your processing mode that your body signals are actually dulled, right? They're actually dimmed. That's why you can like suddenly get up and be like, oh gosh, I've had to go to the bathroom for a lot longer than I really even realized. And then you basically have to run to the bathroom. This is something my mom and I both do all the time. or like, we're just not as in tune with our hunger signals because we might be drinking a lot of coffee or water and we're just not processing those signals in the same way. I'm not sure if this is something that you experience. If it is, let me know. but for me, definitely it is. It's something that I feel, especially if I've had like a really solid morning of work. I just might not be as hungry when it comes to lunchtime, or I might be hungry, but I don't know what kind of food I need or really how hungry I am. It's almost like the signals are there, but they're muted, right? Or like a little, the volume is turned down on them quite a bit. So I was kind of realizing that sometimes I struggle with figuring out what I actually want or what I actually need in a given moment because my mind is really active all the time. Again, this is both a blessing and a curse for what I do in my work and in my relationships. I love having a really active mind and really be constantly processing information and learning new things, but it's also super exhausting, as you can imagine, right? It definitely takes a toll over time. So I was starting to realize that sometimes my intuition was not able to guide me in certain moments where I felt like I just had so many options of how I could spend my time and I wasn't sure what to do first or how to handle things. And I was kind of looking for ways to deal with this. How can I give myself what I need, even if I can't hear those signals as loudly or as clearly as I can at other times? And I realized that a really powerful idea for me is to notice my behavior. And as soon as I kind of made this connection, I started seeing this everywhere. Like, I see it in myself, I see it in other people, and it's really become a very, very handy metric or kind of heuristic for figuring out how I might actually feel or what I might actually need, or maybe what decision is right for me in any given moment. So I'll give you some examples of this, but basically the concept is like, if you're not sure what you need, or what you want to do, or what decision is right for you, notice what kinds of behaviors you're already doing. And I'm going to put a disclaimer on this, which is that sometimes our behavior is governed by factors that are kind of outside of our conscious awareness, right? So like our subconscious might be kicking and screaming about something, we might be afraid, we might have a lot of resistance about things. And all of that is definitely true. I've done episodes on resistance, I've done episodes on upper limit problems in the past, I'll link to those in the show notes. And I definitely think we kind of have to do a quick gut check to kind of see, is this behavior because I'm hiding? Is this behavior because I'm running away from something? Or is this behavior showing me something really important about what I might need in this given moment? So again, gonna go into some examples. One example is actually about this podcast, funnily enough. I had realized, and I kind of talked about this on my last episode, but I was realizing that I just wasn't feeling as inspired to work on the podcast, especially now that I was writing a blog post every single day and publishing it. And I was realizing that before even recognizing that in my conscious awareness, I could observe that I just wasn't making the show. I just like wasn't putting it into my asana. I wasn't giving myself the scheduled tasks. I wasn't feeling motivated to do it. So I literally just wasn't doing it. And in that case, instead of coming from my mind and saying, okay, like what's going on here, or should I make it or should I not make it? I just observed that I actually just wasn't making it. And that to me was a clear signal that maybe it was time to change things up. And the same is true. I then on that past episode said I was going to switch to doing the podcast every 2 weeks. Probably nobody noticed, but this is the third week since I had my last episode. And so again, this is kind of showing me something interesting, right? It's kind of saying, listen, your behavior is telling me, this is me talking to myself, my behavior is telling me that you might need to change things, or maybe you need a break, or maybe you need to kind of change the way you're doing the podcast altogether, and that you're, for example, only going to show up when you have something that you want to share, as I do right now, and I'm coming and talking to you, like rather than trying to structure it into this very like top-down approach of having a certain number of episodes per season, maybe we're going to change things up. Maybe we're going to decide that the podcast only happens when I have something to say. I'm not sure yet what it's going to look like, but that was a very clear example to me that my behavior is telling me something about this. My behavior is telling me that the podcast needs to shift or change in some way. That wasn't me in my mind deciding that. In fact, my mind was probably saying the opposite. My mind was probably saying, hey, you should be showing up every 2 weeks or every week and doing a podcast episode. But my behavior, what I was actually doing, told a very different story, right? Another example of this came last weekend. I had a very like overstimulating day. I went down to a street festival at Yonge and Dundas Square here in Toronto to support my stepmom, who was showcasing her handmade journals. They're really cool. I'll link to those in the show notes as well. And this was a Thai festival downtown right in Yonge and Dundas Square. So if you know Toronto, you know it's hectic. It was very, very hot and there's very little shade. There was a lot of people everywhere. There was a lot of noise. There's so many things going on. There was another parade that went by. Like, this is just for an introvert and somebody who is very sensitive to those kinds of stimulation. I was overwhelmed. And then there's also the social dynamics, right? Like my sisters were there and my stepmom and obviously all these people that I was meeting, and just balancing all of those things means that you get a little bit overwhelmed. You get a little overcome by all of these things that were going on. Add to that, that on my way home, we had stopped for ice cream and it just was a hilarious disaster. I don't even know. I've never had an experience like this before, but we got this soft serve ice cream that was dipped into chocolate. But the problem was it was so hot that the soft serve started melting immediately. But because the dip was hard, like it had hardened against the cold ice cream, I couldn't, you know, like when you lick an ice cream cone to stop it from dripping, I couldn't get to the parts that were dripping. So it just started leaking everywhere. Like, I had ice cream, like, all down my arms, on my legs. I was, like, holding out this ice cream cone, like, 3 feet from my body and trying to eat it as fast as I possibly could, which, as everyone knows, is not a great way to eat ice cream. And I was just, like, not enjoying it at all. And it was hilarious. In the moment, it wasn't that hilarious. But when I look back on it, it's just hysterically funny to, like, watch me in my mind's eye, like, devouring this ice cream cone because it was, like, dripping all over everything. It was just really, really funny. Just not a great idea for a hot, hot day. Take it from me. And then I got on the streetcar, got home, and as soon as I got off the streetcar, we had one of those crazy summer storms, and I only had to walk, like, a five-minute walk. So I started walking, and it was just raining a little bit, and then it just, the skies opened up, and it was crazy the amount of water that was coming down. I was soaked to my skin, hid under this awning with, like, five or six other people that were all like, what is going on? And then it cleared up, you know, in 5 minutes, as those kinds of storms often do, but I was already completely soaked anyway. So it was just, like, a hilarious experience. And I got home, I, like, changed out of my wet clothes, and there was a part of me that, like, wanted to go outside. It was such a beautiful night, and I have this thing. It's one of my Super 7 habits, which I might talk about on the podcast in a couple weeks, but I want to go outside every day and spend some time in nature. Like, I find that that's a really healthy thing for me to do and to try to do that daily. And I hadn't really done that, right? Because I had been at this crazy festival and then I had been eating this crazy ice cream. So I was like, maybe I should go to the park and really, like, enjoy the trees and the breeze and the sunshine. But even as I was thinking all of those things, I was changing into my pajamas. Like, I, without even really thinking about it, because I was soaked to my skin and I was just like, ugh, I hate this, I just changed into my pajamas. So it was kind of this funny thing where it was like my brain didn't want to accept what my body already knew. My body already knew, no, 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 we are not going back outside tonight. We are staying, even though it's like 4:30 or 5, we are staying in the house. We are changing into pajamas. We are watching Stranger Things. We are drinking, like, some alcohol. That's it. Like, that's what we're doing. I don't care what kinds of schemes or plans or, like, whatever. Your best laid plans can just go away because this is what we're doing. And my body was signaling that to me by just kind of, like, I was, like, almost unconsciously, robotically changing into my pajamas. And I just thought it was such a funny example because my brain was almost, like, fighting against it. Even after I had changed my pajamas, even after I was sitting on the couch, I was still having that mental script of, like, but maybe I should go to the park. Maybe I could read outside. Like, maybe I should change back into my street clothes. And it's so interesting because I feel like for me, and maybe you're similar, I always have that voice going on. And I think that also is a factor that makes it hard for me to listen to my gut or my body, is that I have a lot of scripts and I have a lot of shoulds that kind of cycle through my mind of, like, I should do this thing to make me feel better. I should do this thing because it's the right thing to do. And even when I'm conscious of it and trying to intentionally change that narrative and change that script, sometimes it just feels very embedded in, like, my psyche, and it's hard to kind of tease apart what is a true statement, like, that actually would be really good for me to go to the park because I actually feel so much better usually when I go spend time in nature, versus what my gut was saying, which is like, yeah, that might be true sometimes, but in this particular situation, after all of the things that you've experienced, you need to be, like, in a dark cave, essentially, and, like watching a television show that kind of gets you out of your body and kind of makes things a little bit easier to process and understand. And so it was just an interesting push-pull dynamic that I think I experienced personally quite a lot, having such an active mind that I sometimes can't put to sleep or, like, can't make it relax over time. But I think that this might show up for you in different ways. I would be very curious to hear, like, are there ways that this has shown up for you, or what kinds of things you're noticing now that you're kind of maybe aware of this concept? Maybe you already were. But another example might be, like, let's say you are planning a trip somewhere and part of you is like, I really want to go on this trip. This is, like, what I really want. But you are just procrastinating on booking your flights or booking your accommodation. Maybe it's a group trip, for instance, and everyone else is kind of booking everything and you're just like not booking it, and there's just something, I guess, in your body, right, that's kind of holding you back from following through on whatever the action step might be. And you might be like, this is irrational. There's no reason that I would want to not book my flight to this beautiful place or not book my accommodation in this beautiful location. But maybe there's something that's sort of more subconscious that actually is speaking to you and is telling you an opposite kind of feeling, right? And so there's this conflict in our minds. I was actually reading this really interesting book that is about disordered eating or sort of dysregulated eating, which is a topic that I find really interesting. Emotional eating is something that I have struggled with in the past. And so I was learning a little bit more about this from a psychological perspective. This is a woman who was interviewed on Alanis Morissette's podcast, and it was a really interesting interview. So I decided to check out her book, and it's called Starting Monday is the one I'm reading. But one of the things she talks about is that in most situations, we have sort of like a conscious set of wishes or desires, the things that we actually state or say. And then we usually have some kind of unconscious fear or something that's actually holding us back from doing the thing that we're saying that we want to do. So one of the examples she gives in the book is like a girl who's like, I really want to go home for the holidays and spend time with my family. And like, I have such a nice time when I am there and it's so wonderful and homey and like all the traditions are amazing, et cetera, et cetera. So that's like your conscious wishes, your conscious positive feelings that you're having about this experience. But maybe there's like an unconscious feeling in the back of your mind that's sort of reminding you of the last few times that you went home when actually you didn't have a great time, or there were things that caused tension, or you had fights with your family, or whatever the case may be. And so you have this sort of unconscious set of feelings that are mostly negative, and it can hurt to look at them, right? We don't want to acknowledge them because it doesn't fit in with our script of like all of those positive desires that we're stating. And most of us have a tendency to want to discount or disregard any of those unconscious things that make us feel uncomfortable. Because of course, if you acknowledge those fears, it's going to make you feel a tremendous amount of uncertainty. Like, how do I manage this feeling of kind of conflict, right? There's like this conscious stated desire and then this unconscious fear, and the two of those things are in conflict. And the fears are making me feel a lot of uncertainty, right? Like, the conscious wishes are, it's an easy script to follow. I just go home, right? I know what to do. I just go home. That's what I always do. If you acknowledge the fear, then you're left with this feeling of like, oh gosh, I don't know what to do. Should I go home or should I not go home? Or should I go home and set different boundaries, or what should I do? So it's kind of this interesting tension, but she says that the answer is sort of to acknowledge that both things are present. And once both things are present, make our decision in like an informed and conscious kind of way. And so when I'm thinking about this in terms of this behavioral approach to how I'm kind of observing things, I think in some ways it's me tuning into that unconscious part that she's talking about, right? What are those, maybe not always fears, but maybe those negative feelings that I'm not really acknowledging, or maybe the signal that I'm not really acknowledging because it doesn't match with those consciously stated wishes that I might have, that my mind is like yammering away and being like, la, 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 you want to do this and you want to do that and you want to do all those things. And those things might be true, and there might be parts about them that are true. But then maybe there's an unconscious part that's actually telling me that's maybe not true right now, or maybe that's not true in this moment, you know, or for you, maybe it's not true, right? Maybe for other people it is, but for you, it's not. And I think it's something I've always sort of known and said, but haven't really always internalized as maybe as well as I should in actually the way that I live my life. But I always say, you know, like, your body knows, right? Listen to your body. Energy doesn't lie, right? All of those things, we say those things all the time, good vibes only, whatever. But the fact is that when we're living our life, sometimes it's really hard to actually listen to our bodies, listen to what our bodies actually need, because if it doesn't match with who we think we are, we may not want to explore what it has to say, right? Like, if my body's exhausted on a certain day and I just want to go to bed early or take a nap, or I just don't want to work as hard, that doesn't match with my feelings or my identity of like who I am as a person, what I value, how productive I am on an everyday basis. And so of course I'm going to kind of fight against that. So even if my body is like sluggish throughout the day, and I'm kind of, my behaviors are not action-oriented and not super productive, and I'm falling down these distraction rabbit holes on YouTube or on the internet, and I'm just like not paying attention to things as much. That may not match with my conscious ideas about myself. It might not match with my conscious goals that I've set for myself. And that might be like a difficult thing to acknowledge or to even respect. I may want to override it and just say, no, no, no. Like, I know that you're falling down these rabbit holes. Your behavior is basically telling you that you just want to do something else. You need to switch things up, or maybe you need to go for a walk, or you need a type of fresh air. I don't know what you need. But instead of forcing yourself to just sit there and do what you've said that you're going to do in a particular day, maybe it's actually time to listen to what is actually right for you in this moment. Maybe your energy is not at the level that it needs to be to follow through on this thing. Maybe you need to change things, you know? So it's a concept that I've been kind of wrestling with. I'm still not 100% sure all of the ways that it shows up for me. Another example might be if you're like showing up late to things, but only certain things, right? Then your behavior kind of tells you, okay. Or if you're like skipping something, or you're always bailing on plans with a particular friend, even if you're not consciously aware that you're doing that from a place of decision, like you haven't decided, oh, this friend is making me uncomfortable, maybe I'm just not going to see them as often. But if you find yourself just often canceling plans with somebody, maybe that's a sign that you actually are not as involved or invested with that friendship. Or maybe it's causing a feeling for you underneath the surface that you're not even aware of as such, but that is kind of telling you or communicating something to you. I think there are so many practical applications of this, like where, you know, we just realize something about how we're actually feeling on the inside only after we sort of notice what we're actually doing in respect to that behavior. So I'm very interested to kind of find more examples of this in my own life and sort of see how I can use this information to make better decisions for myself. But again, I did want to share that little disclaimer of, I think that one important part of this process is going to be, at least for me, checking in with myself and making sure that it's not a sign of resistance or fear or like hiding. The thing that happened on Saturday, for instance, I was able to check in and I was like, no, you're not hiding or you're not experiencing resistance to going out for a walk or like doing something different. It's very obvious that you need to just be inside and you need to just surrender to the fact that you're exhausted. There's not like a deeper motivation going on here that's like more insidious of like you're avoiding your real life or, you know, you're procrastinating on everything just by watching TV. It was 100% not like that. So that was a pretty easy example, but I feel like there will be times where I won't be sure. Is this behavior telling me that I actually shouldn't do something, or is it telling me, that I maybe should push myself and see sort of what comes on the other side of it. Anyway, hope this idea is interesting and resonates with some of you. If you have any examples or ideas of how this has come up for you in your own life, where your behavior has kind of told you something about how you are actually feeling, I would love to hear about it. I would find it so interesting to learn more about how this manifests for people and if it's something that you've experienced. So please, please, please let me know. On the comments of this blog post or on Instagram. It would be great to kind of hear those examples from you. And on that note, I am going to leave this podcast episode on an open-ended place. I'm not sure when you'll hear from me next, but guaranteed it will be when I have something to say. So that might be in 2 weeks from now, might be three, we're not sure. We'll kind of see what my behavior is dictating about how the podcast will continue to be made. But until next time, I hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful week, and I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for listening to the Life in Limbo podcast. If you liked this episode, please share it with a friend or reach out and let me know at Steph Pellet on Instagram. I would love to hear from you. As always, you can find show notes for this and all episodes at lifeinlimbo.org/podcast. Thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you soon.